third canto, 19th chapter, text number 16. Tene tam ahatakshaktar Bhagavan adisukarah nakampatamanakvapi srajahatayivadvipah tenetamahatakshattar Bhagavan adisukarah nakampatamanakvapi Sajahata yivadvipaha tenetam ahatakshatta Bhagavan adisukaraha nakam patamanakvapi Sajahata yivadvipaha Vaishnavis. Hiranyaksha Ittham thus Ahataha struck Kshattaha O Vidura Bhagavan the Supreme Personality of Godhead Adishukaraha the firstborn Na Akampata did not feel quaking Manak even slightly Kva api? Anywhere. Sraja? By a garland of flowers. Hataha? Struck. Iva? As. Dvipaha? An elephant. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki? Hit in this manner by the demon, O Vidura, the Lord, who had appeared as the first boar, did not feel the least quaking in any part of his body, any more than an elephant would when struck with a wreath of flowers. Purport. As previously explained, the demon was originally a servitor of the Lord in Vaikuntha, but somehow or other he fell as a demon. His fight with the Supreme Lord was meant for his liberation. The Lord enjoyed the striking on his transcendental body, just like a fully grown-up father fighting with his child. Sometimes a father takes pleasure in having a mock fight with his small child. And similarly, the Lord felt Hiranyaksha's striking on his body to be like flowers offered for worship. In other words, the Lord desired to fight in order to enjoy his transcendental bliss. Therefore, he enjoyed the attack. Om Ajnanata Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuhu Vanmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapata Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sakitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisheshashunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी ऋषभानो सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 तेन इत्तम आहतः तेन मीन्स बहिरण्याक्ष इत्तम आहतः बीइंग अटैक्ड अस्ट्रक बाय हिम लाइक दिस भगवान आदि शुक्रः द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड हु अपीयर्ड इन द फॉर्म ऑफ दिस बोर न अकंपत मना क्वापि नॉट इवन स्लाइटली देयर इज नॉट इवन एस slightest of the disturbance for him. And to explain this with an illustration, he says, Srajahata Ivadvipaha. Just like if an elephant is struck by a garland of flowers. Like that, he says. So that is analogy. Even by being attacked by Hiranyaksha with a severe weapons, this great attack did not have any effect on the Lord at all. This goes to show his toughness. When we hear of this type of fights between Lord and his devotees, Jai Vijay, long before coming to this Khan society, I've heard that it was Jai Vijay only who came as these asuras, like Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu and all. And they fought. So I asked many, many people reasons. If you say that they are Jaya Vijay, then why should they become asuras? Nobody had an answer. So many people I've inquired before. Why should they become asuras? Somebody told me they must have committed some mistake, so they became asuras. Somebody said. Some people give the explanation that in spiritual world they are like divine. Because they have come to material world, they are asuras. They were saying. But only in Srila Prabhupada's commentary, in teachings of Queen Kunti for the first time, I got to learn this. Very great secret. That actually they are not enemies of the Supreme Lord at all. They are the dearest of the devotees. And just to offer pleasure to the Lord in this way, by fighting with him, they agree to accept this role. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada also would engage devotees in a mock fight or a mock argument. So he would tell the devotees that I will take a devil's advocate and then you try to defeat me. using the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada would take the role of a, you know, ritualistic Christian. Prabhupada would take the role of an atheistic scientist. Prabhupada would take the role of a Mayavadi. Prabhupada would take the role of a pious materialist. And why Prabhupada would give hundreds of excuses why he doesn't want to take to Krishna consciousness. And the devotees would try to offer arguments in return. And everybody would be watching back and forth. It will be very enjoyable. You can hear in some of the morning walks. Everybody would enjoy. You make them sit in a Bhagavatam class and give a class, they'll go to sleep. But you engage in a mock fight like this with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada making argument only would be so humorous and so interesting for the devotees. How much Prabhupada can talk from both sides? Just like Nimai Pandit would argue on either extremes. Prabhupada could take the argument to such an extreme end and then pull it back to the right understanding. So, devotees would sometimes delight in such kind of arguments with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was always the winner. There was absolutely no doubt about the outcome of the argument. Similarly, in the fight between Lord and the devotee, Lord and this demons in this world, Lord ultimately always emerges victorious. And the devotees are very happy to assist him in whatever way that pleases the Lord. So, in teachings of Queen Kunti, Prabhupada gives this example of how a wrestler appointed by the king, you know, punches on the body of the king just for the pleasure of the king. He is not an enemy of the king. He is a paid wrestler. Even the queens are watching. If he was a real enemy, probably the queens would scream to see that the life of the king is saved. Whereas the queens also clap their hands and they have a good laugh seeing the wrestling match. So, Prabhupada very beautifully explains that the fighting spirit is there originally in the Lord. In the Vaikuntha, there is no scope to fight. So, the Lord wants to enjoy the fighting. So, he comes to this world. And those who adopt the body of demons, the Lord fights with them. There are real demons also in this world. Not everybody is fighting with the Lord for fun or something. There are living entities who become really, really demoniac. Of course, the Lord may enjoy pleasure fighting with them also. But that is not similar to what we are speaking here. This is Jaya Vijay, who are pure devotees, who are requested by Krishna to play this role. Whereas there are really inimical demons who want to destroy Krishna, like Jarasandha, that kind of Kalayavana, this kind of people. So, such living beings are vengeful towards Krishna, and they want to take some revenge, or they want to destroy Krishna. So, of course, Krishna finishes off demons very easily without any effort, as it is explained here. Because nobody can kill him, nobody can cut him, nobody can finish him, nobody can destroy him. You will find in this world, there had been very big demons like Hitler and Stalin, very powerful demons, because they were so awesomeic against the plan of God, killing millions of living beings unnecessarily. And what remained at the time of the death was only some bones. And their body was finished. So all the demons, they come to pass away eventually. So, in the seventh canto, there is a very beautiful verse. Prahlad Maharaj says to Lord Narasimha, I'll just recite that verse. Sattvam hi nitya vijitātma guna svadhamna kālo vaśī krita visrijya visarga shaktihi chakre visrishtam adayeshvara shodasāre nishpidyamānam upakarsha vibho prapannam. My dear Lord, you have created this material world, and You are transcended to all the material qualities. But the last part is the most important. Here he says, you are never conquered by them. Therefore, the time element is your representation. Chakre visrishtam adiyeshwara shodashare. The wheel of time. He is saying, you are the time element itself. Oh my Lord, my Supreme, no one can conquer you. As for me, however, I am being crushed by the wheel of time, and therefore I surrender fully unto you. Now kindly take me under the protection of your lotus feet. The last line, Prabhupada used to quote this very much. Nishpidyamanam upakarsha vibho prapannam. Anu means small. Vibho means very great. Oh, great mighty Lord, I completely take your shelter. Nishpidyamanam means being crushed under the wheel. Just like the sugar cane goes into the two gears. You've seen that? Two types of wheels. Put it in, comes from the other side completely flat. Similarly, all that is vertical becomes flat in this world. All people raising their chest, raising their nose like anti-aircraft gun, walking proudly, you know, boasting their prowess, you know, their political power, their money power, their bodily power, their beauty power, all these different type of powers, everything becomes null and void in this world when they simply lie in their funeral pyre, and what they leave behind is only some pile of bones. That is the situation of everyone in this world. Nishpidyamanam. Everyone is crushed by the wheel of time, becoming flat. He is saying, Nishpidyamanam upakarsha vibho prapannam. Prabhupada explains, in the purport, the word Nishpidyamanam, being crushed, is very significant. Every living entity in the material condition is actually being crushed again and again. And to be saved from this position, one must take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then one will be happy. The word prapannam is also very significant. For unless one fully surrenders to the Supreme Lord, one cannot be saved from being crushed. A criminal is put in prison and punished by the government, but the same government, if it likes, can release the criminal from imprisoned life. Our material condition of suffering has been allotted to us by the Supreme Lord. And if we want to be saved from this suffering, we must appeal to the same controller. What is the suffering? If you see, it only requires eyes to see how in this world everything gradually falls apart by the very powerful influence of time. Like somebody is having a jet black hair, it turns into white hair, isn't it? Somebody has clean cheeks, beautiful face, that turns into wrinkled faces, isn't it? Wrinkles come in the body gradually over a period of time. And somebody is very young, hale and healthy. Eventually, as the old age sets in, you can see people's body bending and they need to hold a stick. And gradually, even the stick also starts shaking. Hands and legs start shaking. Head also shaking. You have seen that? Whole body is shaking. Yeah, we are being defeated by time. The time turns clean faces into wrinkled faces. Jet black hair into white hair. Young people into old people, and sends old people to graveyard also. Is it not? In the richest of the men, the biggest of the politicians. Recently one big politician passed away. And all these people come to pass. Everybody in this world. So one should be able to see the influence of time in this world acting. That time defeats everyone and everything in this world. One should be able to watch this as Prahlad is seeing. And also, the body, you will see, grows from childhood to youthhood, and it goes to a stage of peak strength, especially between 16 to 25. That is why everybody wants to be young in this world. You see, a small boy, like if a boy is 8-year-old or 7-year-old, you ask him, what's your age? He will say, I'm 10. Because, you know, don't think I'm very small. Maybe bada hon. You've seen small children don't like to be seen as too small. Chotu, you know, small kid. Sometimes a kid is only having a height up to his father's knee. Everyone takes him for granted and they ridicule him or do something. So he wants to say, I'm big. But at the same time, you ask people who have crossed 30. If they have just crossed 30, they will say, I'm 28, they will say. Because nobody likes to be seen as old. That is why everybody wants to be between 16 to 25, which is a peak position of our body, where you are young and hale and healthy and youthful. You can eat well, you can sleep well, you can run here, there, do a lot of things. You have a lot of energy. And we feel there's something called youthful pride. Youthful pride means everything, you know, appears to move according to your will. You can do miracles. So people are very proud when they are young, hale and healthy. But actually one has to observe, like in America they had the slogan, you know, never trust anyone beyond 30. But when they themselves were crossing 30, they were afraid, now nobody will trust us. Is it not? So in this way, just as Prabhupada gives the example of the the wet cow dung laughing at dry cow dung. Eventually the wet cow dung also turns into dry and it will be thrown into fire. Intelligence means to see things which happen eventually at a later time, farsightedness. And that is Prahlad's vision. Prahlad is saying, Nishpidyamanam Upakarsha. He says, I am seeing, my dear Lord, the big wheel of time is moving and gradually changing everybody's body from childhood to youth to old age, eventually dragging people to the graveyard. Like you remember, I read one sentence in one of the classes, people will be ejected out of their program for sense gratification and they will be dragged to the graveyard. And this is the power of time. Ejected out means everybody is in a, just like a balloon when you fill up helium in a balloon, it's actually very popped up, very big, like that, very, you know, the balloon is very far, and then it will be like, you know, standing erect, and you remove the air, again it's lying flat on the ground. Similarly, in this world, infatuated by false pride, nourished by the three modes, the living entities are all very proud. In this world, of their achievements, of their accomplishments, of their greatness, of their skills and abilities, capabilities, all these things. But Prahlad is able to see through the veneer of illusion. And he is seeing that what is the achievement of the living entities in this world? Everything becomes null and void when one is knocked by time in the form of death. Then one can't make any sound also. One is finished completely. Swallowed by death. The kala uraga. Swallowed by death. So this is the first verse Prahlad said about this time here. Nishpidyamanam. Nishpidyamanam upakarshu. Prabhupada repeatedly quotes the word nishpidyamanam, crushed. And then in the second verse he says, my dear Lord, people in general want to be elevated to heaven and heaven for long duration of life, opulence and other enjoyments. But I have seen all of these through the activities of my father. When my father was angry and he laughed sarcastically at the demigods, they were immediately vanquished simply by seeing the movement of his eyebrows. Yet my father, who was so powerful, has now been vanquished by you within a moment. It's a famous verse also. Drishta maya divi vibho kila dishnyapanam ayushriyo vibhava icchati yan janoyam yesmat pitu kupita hasa vijrambita bru visfurjite nalulitaha satute nirastaha. See, this is the point. He's saying here, drishta maya means seen by me. I have seen, what I have seen? Divi vibho, akila dishnya panam. My father not only conquered earth, he conquered all the three worlds. He became master of the whole universe. Such was his power. Prabhupada says the modern day big politicians are big demons. Prabhupada says they are practically powerless. They catch some common cold and they die. They are not like Hiranyakashipu or Hiranyaksha. You can understand what kind of power they had. And to explain that, he is saying, people desire Ayu, Shriya, Vibhava. People want opulence, people want wealth, people want long duration of life. Ayu, Shriya, Vibhava, all these things. Ichchati, people desire. But what was the position of my father, he is saying. My father, Hiranyakashipu, when he was ruling the world, he told all the demigods to resign from their posts. He said he will do everything himself. You will read that in the 7th canto elsewhere. The wetting agent, drying agent, heating agent, Agni, Vayu, all these agents. He told them, you know, why should you take the credit of doing this work in this universe? I will do everything myself. You quit your post. So he was doing. And not only that, the demigods sometimes would bring some gifts to pacify Hiranyakashipu. And he would shout at them in such a way that they would drop the gift and run away. Of course, they would keep their turban or mukut at his feet and bow down to him. Still, he would drive them away. And he was always sitting in the throne of Indra and drunken in liquor. His coppery eyeballs were always reeling. He was so powerful. And if he was angry with any demigods, he would twist his eyebrows and he would look at them, they would get frightened. Like nowadays, it's a very cold part of the year. If it is too cold, he would look at the sun and twist his eyebrows. Hey, why don't you increase your heat little? Immediately, yes sir. Immediately would increase the heat. And you won't feel so much cold. Temperature will be 15 to 25 degrees Celsius. So I can feel very warm. He didn't have to have of course we have a remote controlled air conditioner. But he remotely controlled sun only. Directly. Such was his power. That's why he is saying, Visfur jitena lulitaha satute nirastaha. They were simply defeated. Hasa vijrumbita bhru. Bhru means eyebrows. Hasa means his laughter. His laughter shattered the hearts of the demigods. Like that he is saying. Such kind of behavior of his critical laughing when he was angry with the demigods. So he is saying, I have seen my father so powerful. By his eyebrows he could control all the demigods in the universe. But now I am seeing him ripped apart like an elephant rips apart a sugar cane. And she's fallen on the ground. Such a powerful person is defeated by you in the form of time, in the form of Lord Narasimha. Like that is praying, Prahlad. And then there's a concluding verse in the time, regarding the time factor. Prahlad is saying, my dear Lord, now I have complete experience concerning the worldly opulence, mystic power, longevity, and other material pleasures enjoyed by all living entities. Some living entities have siddhis, powers. Some living entities have long duration of life. Or they have opulences like wealth and everything. And all pleasures. He says, from Lord Brahma down to the ant, as powerful time, you destroy them all. Therefore, because of my experience, I do not wish to possess them. My dear Lord, I request you to place me in touch with your pure devotee and let me serve him as a sincere servant. That is praying. Very beautiful. Tasmadamostanubratam ahamashishogna ayushriyam vibhavamaindriyam avirinchyat na ichchami nechami te vilulitan uruvikramena kalatmanopanayamam. Nijabhritya Parshvam. This is a very famous verse. This one. This is 7924. You see, this is the conclusion of Prahlad. Most intelligent. Most intelligent boy. So, in this series of three verses on time, Prahlad is teaching us that actually the Shastras, this is how they explain the things. How powerful a person was. And such a powerful person was defeated by Lord in the form of time. So Prabhupada says in one of his purports, some people read about Karl Marx, some people read about Hitler, some people read about Stalin. how sometimes Napoleon Bonaparte, people read about them, or they read about the Greek history, Roman Empire's greatness, how Roman Empire was so powerful at one time. So people read about those things. Prabhupada says, why do you read about the great killer Hitler? Read about the killer of Hitler, he says. Yeah. Who is the killer of Hitler? That's Krishna. Kamsa was very powerful. He was keeping all big asuras under his control. But he himself was defeated by Krishna completely. That movie is becoming famous now. What is that? Kamsa. Yeah, Krishna overcomes. Yeah. Of course, people will benefit little bit by watching such movies. But they have to hear from Acharya. That is very important. Simply children watch Krishna or Kamsa and they may just come back and they will be fighting Krishna with each other. But if they hear from Acharya, they can understand how to develop love for Krishna by understanding his greatness, by understanding his strength. This was especially talking about Krishna's strength. You will find in all the different pastimes like Hiranyaksha, we are reading now, how Hiranyaksha pounding on the Lord's chest very forcefully was like throwing a flower on him. Like an elephant. Imagine if somebody takes a flower garland and slaps the elephant on the trunk. Elephant will give a big laugh. Isn't it? It's like that only for the Lord. When he is attacking, that's the example given here. Similarly, Lord Narasimha also, simply with his nails, when Hiranyakashipu attacked Lord Narasimha, he played with him for some time. Then he picked him up and put him on his lap and tore him apart. Then all the other demonic associates came running, saying that, why did you spare all of us? What about us? One by one. And Lord just using his nails, just pierced each of them with his nail, different. One by one, they all came closer and being pierced by Lord's nails, they all died. Very easily, with effortlessly. That is why the example is given of an elephant pulling out a sugar cane from the ground, uprooting it, and then just breaking it apart. You see? Very easily. So, you will hear in each pastime the Lord's supreme strength, indefeatable strength. Or how Lord Ramachandra in Janasthan, 14,000 soldiers headed by Karadushan, were finished by Lord Ramachandra all alone, single-handedly. Lord even told the Lakshman, you relax, I will finish them all. You can immeasurable strength. One should read about each of these opulences deeply in the scriptures and learn to appreciate. Like Prahlad here, his conclusion is a very intelligent conclusion. He is saying, I have seen my father with my own eyes, how powerful he was, how mighty he was. Even from top to bottom, all the 14 planetary systems were under his control. Now I am seeing, in order to defeat him, you didn't need to take any effort at all. You came out of the pillar in such a gigantic form of Lord Narasimha, Ugra Narasimha. And my father never even anticipated such a form. You can come in such forms like Narasimha. Or here in this case, Varaha. And as per the need, Lord came as Narasimha. Why? Because Hiranyakashipu had put many conditions to Brahma. Fulfilling all the conditions, Lord appeared in that form. Here Lord came as Varaha because the earth had fallen into the waters of Garbhodak Ocean. So to go into those waters and take out the earth and bring it out, Lord accepted the form of Varaha. And he is saying he is the original Varaha, he says here. Lord is the original copy of everything. All others are imitations in this world. Others can only imitate. And others can not only imitate, they can only be poor imitations. Lord is the original. Like we say, Janmadhyasya Yataha. He is the origin of everything. And he is also called as Adi Purusham. Govindam Adi Purusham. He is the original Purusha. And he is coming in the form of Varaha here. And is displaying the strength here. Similarly, whether he is fighting with Ravana, whether he is fighting with Kumbhakarna, whether he is fighting with Shishupal or Dandavakra, you can see Lord's immeasurable strength. You see, in the study of material science, they have something called as Mohr scale. In Mohr scale, the hardest metal is diamond. The hardest mineral is diamond. It is 10 on Mohr scale. and all others, like graphite, which has got many holes, which is very porous in nature, it is very soft, can be broken. So then naturally the hardness will be reduced, you will see that. So you will find that different minerals have different hardness, and here we are hearing about the hardness of the Lord. He is harder than the diamond, his chest. Actually, the harder materials are used for upgrading softer materials. Like for example, they have a grinding wheel in which you will find many hard materials will be stuck in the form of grains if you want to upgrade and, you know, polish some other things. That's why the grinder is used like that. So more harder material will be used for little softer material. But here you find Lord's chest is the harder than the hardest. That even by the attacking of this demon, it doesn't, it says, it says, nākampata manākvāpi. Nākampata, not even agitated, even little bit also. I was reminded of how when Balram and Krishna and coward boys entered into the Talavan, and Balram was shaking the tree, tal tree. That time, this Dhenukasura came running. As soon as he came, you know, the donkeys are considered foolish creatures. Because he could have attacked Balram directly, but he turned about and he was showing his back to Balram. And showing his back to Balram with his hind legs, he was kicking on Balram's chest. Boom, boom, boom. Can you imagine a donkey very vigorously kicking you on the chest? One kick, how painful it will be. So when Balram was kicked like that, it didn't cause any similar one. Na kampata mana kuabi. It didn't cause any pain to Balram. Rather, it was very convenient for Balram to hold both the feet. And then whirl it around. Zoom, 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 zoom. Psh, he dropped on the top of the tree. And this fellow, by the time Balram whirled his body like this, already his life was gone. Life was removed from the body. You see? See, if he attacked Balram straight on the face, it may be difficult to catch his feet because he may attack with his face. But he turned around and showed Balram conveniently, please catch my feet. That is a foolish creature. But the point here is such kicking, that is why it's called Balaram. Balaram means what? One who delights in displaying his bala, displaying his strength. That's one of the meaning. Ram means enjoyer. Bala means one who exhibits his power. And that Balaram comes from Krishna only. So Krishna is the source of all strength. Unlimited strength, enormous strength and toughness. Of course, if he wants to keep himself like a rose or like a flower, he can do that. You will see amazingly, Krishna, when he was in the lap of Yashoda, one day he increased his weight so much. Mother Yashoda felt too much weight. She picked him up and kept him on a cloth on the floor. Immediately Krishna's body became like a light feather. Next moment. Why? Because Trinavart was about to come. So Krishna prepared himself. Trinavart is going to come. He can increase his weight enormously and he can lighten his weight also very lightly. When Trinavrat came, he could just blow off Krishna and pick him up very easily and take him up in the sky. After which again what Krishna did? After catching hold of his neck very firmly, he increased his weight as if it was like a Meru Parvat. So heavy. And then he brought him crashing to the ground and crushed him. All the bones of Trinavrat were crushed to pieces. So, how Krishna is doing this? Because he is called as Yogeshwar. Yogeshwar means he supplies siddhis to all the begging living entities who go to him. So, Yogeshwar means he is not only the person possessing siddhis, but he is the bestower of siddhis for all living entities. And he can do this. He can increase his weight. And if he wants to be defeated by his devotee, he can be defeated also. He does that several times. As if he is defeated. He is defeated by Yashoda, defeated by even the gopis. So here, he is showing the strength. Even as Krishna, you will find, he always on and off shows his supremacy. Especially for the demons. Like one devotee was telling that sometimes Prabhupada told us that you can argue on behalf of atheists. And you can argue on behalf of Mayavadis. So this devotee said, while I was arguing with him on the order Prabhupada was arguing, but I also had some doubts. So I put those doubts also and I argued. He said. And also I also used to speculate about certain things which I wasn't very sure. So my doubts and speculations, everything, I took advantage of this opportunity Prabhupada gave and I argued. And most people thought that I am taking a devil's advocate to argue. But actually as such I had those doubts, he says. You understand, no? So, similarly, this is actually demoniac mentality, you see. It can be there. So, sometimes what Krishna does when demons are attacking him or doing anything, sometimes he actually displays that he is God, so that the people of the world can know who he is. Like recently I was reading about the session on Krishna and Balaram jumping off from the Pravarshana hills, 88 miles down. You see, just prior to that you will find when Jarasandha saw Krishna Balaram, they were swiftly going away from the battle. And this fellow was laughing very derisively and he wanted to chase after them and attack them. He was calling Krishna Balaram as cowards. Now when anybody in this world reads this section, they will say, hey, our doubts are confirmed. We thought that Krishna is an ordinary human being. Just see, you know, he is running away from Jarasandha. Both the fellows are running. Krishna Balaram, what kind of God are they? And the next moment Krishna is proving that he is God. He is jumping off 88 miles from the top of mountain down. So you can ask the same people who doubt Krishna, what about this? If somebody can jump so tall, such a tall mountain and not break his legs, and after that Krishna is just going. The verse doesn't even give any explanation also. He just goes. After that Krishna was walking peacefully. After that. If it was an ordinary person, you can imagine, you can't even count his bones. Somebody falls off from such a height. Isn't it? So, Krishna time to time displays his supremacy. So that the doubting souls, they will be defeated. The doubts will be dispelled. Yeah, Krishna does that. Like he's playing with coward boys, coward girls, everything. Suddenly lifts Govardhan Hill. Nobody can even dream of doing in order to display his strength. He does like that. Here also, he is displaying his strength, that the demon is attacking him. It appears completely he is invincible, indefeatable. And this indefeatable nature of the Lord should inspire us to take his shelter. That is the purpose of this explanation. When we understand the indefeatable nature of him, there is no one equal to him, or there is no one superior to him. There is no one stronger than him, no one more beautiful than him. And there is no one kind and compassionate like him, despite being so powerful. And he is worthy of shelter. That's why Sharanam, Sharanyam, it is said. Sharanyam means he is worthy of shelter. And also, why Krishna fights, Prabhupada gives another explanation. Krishna likes variety. Like when Mother Yashoda is sending Krishna Balaram and other coward boys to the jungle, every day she makes varieties of preparations and scents, and Krishna likes variety. In his friends also there is variety of friends. There are different types of friends. In gopis also there are varieties of gopis. In cows also there are varieties of cows. Similarly, Prabhupada says, one of the varieties of activities Krishna likes is to do stunt also. There also, in Braj also, Krishna sometimes has stunt with his friends. Kushti, they do kushti. Sometimes, you know, catching each other's hands and shoulders, they roll on the ground, punching and beating each other. And when Krishna is defeated, then he has to lift the coward boys on his shoulder and take them for a ride, joy ride or something. So, Prabhupada says, this is also a variety. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. So, one of the variety activities Krishna wants to do is fight one of the 12 rasas which he enjoys. So that's what Prabhupada said. This is the one of the spirit of enjoyment of Krishna is to have this type of mock fighting. And that spirit has come in us also. That is why sometimes the fight is also pleasing. Like when you see the stunt scene, it is very pleasing, especially at the climax of the movie. The stunt is very pleasing because it creates a kind of adventure. It creates a kind of suspense. So Lord feels that in Vaikuntha, you know, everybody is obedient, everybody is cooperative, everybody is submissive. You know, sometimes it feels, Prabhupada says, sometimes one wants to have some fight to have the body more fit. So Lord actually decides to come to this world. If there are some regular demons are available, he can fight with them also. But sometimes if no one is available, then Lord brings a devotee with him. Like that he says. Then he brings and he can have a fight. Like this. So there is a verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, Asuram Bhavam Ashritaha. These are natural demons. Demons who in this world have become inimical to Krishna and they have Asuram Bhavam. But Jaya Vijaya, they accept this Asuram Bhavam for Lord's pleasure. They do Asuram Bhavam Ashrita for Lord's pleasure. And then they fight, giving pleasure to Lord. So he gives the example of how a father sometimes takes pleasure in having a mock fight with his child. Sometimes he pretends to be defeated. Like you will hear in Ramayana, how once Ram and Lakshman were bound by Nagapash. And they were apparently defeated. They were lying, both of them, on the flat on the ground. And all the asuras, they were having a shrilling laughter. They were saying, just see, we have finished these ordinary humans, forest dwellers. Now they are finished now. They were thinking, these asuras sometimes would have magical powers. They would become invisible and they would reappear. They would do things like that. Of course, can't Ram, Lakshman save themselves from Nagapash on their own? They can. But at that time, a huge bird came from the sky flying. Who was he? Garuda. Yeah. And Garuda attacked the Nagas. And as Garuda attacked them, they all actually unwound themselves and fled for their lives. They say, Ram, Lakshman, they woke up coming back as if they are coming out of their death. They were saved from death or something like that. Now, why Ram, Lakshman does it? Because they want to offer an opportunity of service to their supreme devotee, Garuda. So, Lord actually apparently behaves like as if he is defeated to give pleasure to his devotee, Garuda. So, Garuda feels, okay, I also got some opportunity for service. If Lord says, Lord is bound by Nagapash, and Garuda comes flying, Lord says, no, I don't have any need of any help. He just takes the Nagas and throws them away. Garuda, go and take rest. No service for you. So, then there is no fun. Lord also wants to give pleasure to his devotees. So, Garuda gets the privilege of rendering their service. And he feels very joyful that I could do this service to Lord Ram and Lakshman. So, even if Lord is defeated, that is also a pastime. That is also a leela for the pleasure of his devotees. Like I told you, from Padma Purana, I read this very beautiful verse. Mad bhakta vinodartam karomi vividaha kriyaha, he says. Mad bhakta vinodartam means for the fun and the pleasure of my devotees. Mad bhakta vinodartam kriya karomi vividaha kriyaha means I do varieties of activities to give them pleasure. They try to give me pleasure and I try to give them pleasure. And this is actually, there's a transcendental competition between Lord and the devotee. To give pleasure to each other. Always. In this way, Krishna is never defeated. If you find him defeated, Prabhupada gives the example. Like a father is defeated by a child. Sometimes the child tries to fight with the father and the father is never defeated. The child starts crying. So to please the child, father may sometimes be defeated. Like my father used to keep his hand on the table. Until you tell me to beat him like this. So when I would beat him, he would take his hand away. You know. Then I would hit my hand. I will try 2-3 times. Sometimes I would hold him here. Hold him here and try to hit him. Still he would do like this. He will do like this. You cannot hit him. So after doing 3, 4, 5, 6 times when I am hitting my hand on the table, I will start crying. Then he will say, no, one last try you give. One last try I will give. That time he will get hit. He would say like that. Then I would feel very joyful. You see. Do you think he's really defeated? So, sometimes parents do that in India also, you will see, with the children, just to give pleasure to the child. You see? So, the Prabhupada gives his examples because it's very easy to understand. When I asked this, when he gave this example, practically the whole class raised hand that everybody has the experience of this with their parents. Parents do this in India, probably it's coming in parampara for many years. Family parampara. Like similarly, if a child comes running, if he falls on the ground and hits against a stone, it is bleeding in a little small bleeding is happening in the leg. Child will look around. If no one is around, what he will do? He will not cry. Because what is the use of crying? Nobody is there to watch you. But if mother, father are there, immediately you start. And then you'll go into a big siren after that. Big hue and cry for next 1 hour, 2 hours. You're crying and showing this wound. See, all this. So sometimes the parents in India, what they do? In case they happen to be around and the child is about to begin crying, what they will do? They'll beat the floor. And they'll be, this is the floor which caused you this. And the child will very seriously see, yeah, very good. You know, like this. You see? You seen that? Huh? You think you can beat the floor? Actually, your hand will pain if you beat the floor. So for the pleasure of the child, parents do that. Similarly, the Lord also, when the devotees fight with him, sometimes the Lord is defeated by Sri Dama, Sudama, Madhumangala and all these people. Just to give fun to them. And to give joy to the heart of devotees. It's very amazing philosophy, this Vaishnava philosophy. You see Krishna taking his Sudarshan Chakra by sending it through the army of Kurukshetra once, the whole battle can be finished by Krishna alone. He doesn't have to become a charioteer. He doesn't need Arjuna. He doesn't need the Pandavas at all. In the Mahabharata, it will be only one page book. We'll say the Kurukshetra battle began and Lord Krishna finished everyone. That's all. No, there is no fun at all. Lord wants to teach many, many things through the Mahabharata war. He wants to show how the Pandavas took his shelter. The Pandavas did not choose Narayana Sena. And how the Pandavas' lives were put into threat, but they had firm faith in Krishna. Arjuna handed over the ropes of his horses to Krishna to be guided by Krishna. Many, many lessons Krishna teaches. And Krishna shows the nature of demons, the Duryodhana and company, how they behave. And all. Otherwise, there is no possibility of us learning anything if Lord does everything. He wants to. So, there are various purposes. That is why Kunti Maharani is telling in many, many verses what are the reasons why Krishna comes into this world. She is saying that your pure devotees invite you to become their child. Or Brahma pray to you. Or Bhumi pray to you. Many, many reasons she is saying. Sometimes you come and perform leelas which can be recorded in the books like Srimad Bhagavatam, and later on devotees who read it can become enlivened by reading those pastimes, rejuvenated. In fact, they can see your pastimes when they read in the literatures with great transcendental faith. So she is saying many reasons like this. In this way, Krishna also offers something very valuable for the sadhakas also. And the other living entities living in the world. And Prabhupada says one more reason. Krishna wants to show the world that being his enemy is not very advantageous. By studying about Ravana, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, and all these things, one understands, oh, no matter how powerful you be, it is useless to be Krishna's enemy. Better I surrender to Krishna. One will conclude like that. Like that was the conclusion Prahlad did. Prahlad said, I have seen my father, he was your enemy, but he didn't benefit. He was defeated. He could have taken your shelter. But he didn't take shelter, but I will take your shelter because I have seen with my eyes. Very intelligent devotee, Prahlad. He didn't want to waste his time fighting with Lord Narasimha or fighting against Lord. It's useless to turn against the Lord. Very beautiful point. Prabhupada says that also. All living entities should take lessons from the lives of asuras. Asuras have been very powerful. They are called Dushkritina. Dushkritina means they can do wonderful activities but against Vishnu or Krishna. Against the purpose of Vishnu or Krishna. And then with all their wonderful activities doomed to frustration and made null and void, then one can understand. So one should, by reading the scriptures, one should come to the right conclusion as Prahlad came to the right conclusion. Hiranyakashipu was the extreme demon and Prahlad was extreme devotee, Prabhupada says. Prabhupada says, Naradhama and Narottama. Prabhupada has given a lecture on this. Prahlad is Narottama and Hiranyakashipu is Naradhama. Worst of the demons and the best of the exalted Mahatmas, Prahlad. And they were related, can you imagine? As father and son. It's a very powerful pastime. And just as he came to the right conclusion, we have to come to the right conclusion, seeing And Lord Varaha has immense strength. It can help us understand he is not ordinary boar, he is a transcendental boar. It is described that Lord Varaha's eyes were like lotus petals, Kamala Nayanam, even though he is coming as a boar. Not only when he is Narayana, he has Kamala Nayanam. Any body he takes, his eyes are like lotus petals. And his body is emanating the Vedic mantras. All the four Vedas are emanating from his body. And he is worshipped by all the rishis and munis. He has a divine form, Satchidananda form, transcendental form. And he is the Adi Varaha, he says, he is the Adi Purusham. And this was understood by Brahma and all other devatas also. It's a very beautiful section. And as I told you in the beginning, the Lord fighting with Jaya Vijay in the form of this Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu for mock fighting to increase his pleasure. So that is actually the central theme of spiritual life, to give pleasure to Supreme Lord by all our activities. Even if somebody is doing apparently devotional activity, but the goal is one's sense gratification. It's not serving the purpose. So one should, that's another very important point. Here it appears like a fighting, but actually the goal is to give pleasure to the Supreme. The goal is to give pleasure to Krishna. So that vital point of giving pleasure to Krishna should always be kept in mind in every one of the devotional activity. We want to distribute books in this month. Why? Because it will please Prabhupada, it will please Krishna. Prabhupada several times spoken in his lectures about the importance of distributing books. Actually, Prabhupada, when he was in his last days, any time he might leave the body. Prabhupada had called all his disciples from all over the world to come to Vrindavan. And he said, any time I may leave the body. So many devotees came and stayed with Prabhupada 1 week, 10 days, getting his last association. So even at that time, when the scores would come, Prabhupada would say, your scores are giving life to me. It is prolonging my stay. It is giving me so much strength. So this we should not forget. We should remember. Prabhupada is Acharya for movement, founder Acharya, the original founder of our movement. And Prabhupada was convinced that even though we may give lectures, we see that we sometimes we give lectures, we bring people, but we cannot reach to the heart of people as Prabhupada can reach, because he is specially empowered associate of the Supreme Lord. He has come here, sent by Krishna. And Acharya's words have tremendous potency. When people read his books, hear his lectures, then it has a very, very special potency. That is the reason, even when we bring people, why do we introduce them to Prabhupada's books? And why do we introduce them to the Acharya? Because that connection will help people very much. Because our whole movement is founded on his books. That is why he said books are the basis. So, we request in this month, every single devotee to put his or her best efforts to reach out these books for the pleasure of Prabhupada. Shri Prabhupada ki, our Bhakta Vrinda ki, Grantharajshimad Bhagavatam ki. Thank you very much. I'll take questions for about 5 minutes till 9:45. Yeah. Any questions? You the mic?
Hare Krishna. Actually, while Hiranyaksha was fighting with the Varaha, just like you said that actually he was Jaya Vijay, one of them. So that time while he was fighting, was he knowing that I am giving pleasure to the Lord, or forget?
Actually, if he knew that I am fighting with the Lord and I am devotee from the Vaikuntha, probably he may not have, you know, enough passion to fight. So, Lord covers the living entities' understanding in order for them to be able to fight. Yeah. At least at that time, point of time of fighting, he might not have known, surely. Because when you read the descriptions, it's very clear like that. But Lord knows, Lord will liberate him eventually. Once he liberated, he gets his form, he will understand. Yes. Yeah, any other question?
You are mentioning about our central theme of our any activity should be giving pleasure to Krishna.
Yeah.
So, but many times...
I told this point, why? Because generally our mind is so tuned in the material world that we first think of our own pleasure only. Our prasadam, our sleep, our comfort, our luxuries. We generally think like that. So we have to change that nature of our mind. Thinking I first, me first, into, you know, Guru and Prabhupada and Krishna. How to give pleasure to them? At least we should think about it.
We have ulterior motivations. When Maharaj also stresses, you know, sincere, serious and ulterior.
So what to do if we have ulterior motivations? We know it's a material desire, which is improper. It's not proper. Then what should one do? One should surely make an endeavor to give up those motivations. At least we are observing them. Just like when you observe some wound in your body or some boil in your body, then you go to doctor, you apply some medicine and then you get it cured. If there is pus in a boil, it's not good. Similarly, ulterior motives we are seeing, observing is the first step. After they observe it, then you have to find out medicine for that. Like somebody has envy. What is the medicine for envy? What is the medicine for anger? What is the medicine for pride? What is the... So we have to first of all identify our own ulterior motives and anathas. And Dhruva also had ulterior motives. He was clearly aware of it. Correct? Now he told, actually, when Narada gave him the advice that you behave like a brahmana, and Dhruva had to tell him, actually, you know, I'm not able to behave compassionately like the way you are saying. And that is very artificial for me. Please give me an honest path so I can attain a very difficult to achieve goal. He asked like that. So eventually he was purified by that practice. So detecting our anarthas is one of the first jobs. After that, then we have to seek advice from superiors how to work on those anarthas, work on those motivations, how to get rid of them. We have to work. If you say that it is there, anartha is there, what to do, and we don't go for any solution, then we are like a boat that is anchored to the shore. And you keep on rowing it, we never get ahead. Is it not true? See, some people are intellectual, they have to be intellectually convinced. Some people are emotional, they have to be emotionally convinced. Different people. Whatever medicine is required for us, we have to obtain it from the right people. Like here, Prahlad, you see, he comes from the dynasty of Hiranyakashipu, and he has seen with his own eyes how my father was so powerful, he is defeated. Now he is convinced now to surrender to Krishna completely. Bali Maharaj also surrendered to Vamandev. These are all people coming in Asuric dynasty, but never exhibited any Asuric nature at all. They surrendered completely. So we have to find out a solution. We cannot Ichchami Kalena Nayasa Viplava. He says, our Gajendra says that, you know, if there is darkness in the room, you cannot drive away darkness by yelling at darkness or taking a cricket bat and beating at darkness. It will not go. You have to lit on the light. Similarly, we need enlightenment to drive away ignorance. Similarly, if we find anarthas, we have to go for solution for each of the anarthas. Of course, after applying the appropriate solution, it will still take some time. And that time, what do we need? Patience. But without applying solution, one should not be patient. That patience is counted as laziness. Without identifying a solution and applying a solution, if somebody says, Prabhuji, I have a lot of anarthas, you know, I am waiting for mercy, someday mercy will come. No, that is laziness. One has to understand the solution, apply the solution, endeavor to attain the ultimate platform. Along with that, one should have patience also, because it takes some time. Yeah.
Prahlad has a very extreme devotee also. So why is not praying for his father? No,
he prayed his father. He told the Lord Narasimha, please deliver my father.
Or his father got purified in his association. Was it because he was
Lord Narasimha was killing him, after he killed him, he told that, please, my father was very, very sinful. You know, his destination is hell, undoubtedly. But if you wish, you can liberate him. And then Lord Narasimha. Of course, before killing also, he gave association, which was unaccepted by Hiranyakashipu. Matirna Krishne Paratosvatova. మితోభిపద్యేత గృహవ్రతానాం అదాంతగోభిర్విశతాం తమిశ్రం పునః పునః చర్విత చర్వణానాం. అండ్ హి ఆల్సో టోల్డ్ దిస్ వర్స్, శ్రవణం కీర్తనం విష్ణోః స్మరణం పాదసేవనం అర్చనం వందనం దాస్యం సఖ్యమాత్మ నివేదనం ఇతి పుంసార్పితౌ విష్ణు భక్తిశ్చేన్నవలక్షణ క్రియేత భగవత్యద్ధా తన్మన్యే అధీతముత్తమం. సో వాట్ ఎవర్ ప్రభుస్ టీచింగ్ ఇన్ ఇస్కాన్ హీ టాట్ దట్ టైమ్ ఓన్లీ. ఆల్ 64 ప్రిన్సిపల్స్ హీ టోల్డ్ హిస్ ఫాదర్, దీస్ ఆర్ ద నావిద భక్తి. సో హిస్ ఫాదర్ హర్డ్ ఇట్ బట్ రిఫ్యూజ్ టు ఫాలో. సో వాట్ షుడ్ యూ డూ, టెల్ మీ.
Asking that what did you learn in the school, that time he was telling this thing.
Yeah, he told that, and he also told his father, my dear father, you leave your position as the so-called king of the world and go to Vanam Gato Yad Harim Ashrayeta, take shelter of Lord Hari. So he preached, but the preaching was not taking effect because Hiranyakashipu was a demon. He refused to surrender. Certain Asuric people, despite your preaching, they will not hear. Like when you go to distribute books, people say, no, I am not interested. So I used to tell them, but are you not interested in happiness? Yeah, I am interested in happiness, but I don't want to become happy the way you are becoming happy. I am afraid. You have a shaven head. Huh? This is a very dangerous type of happiness. Huh? So then I used to tell them, no, we are brahmacharis, just 100 people. We have 5,000 congregation. And I used to tell them gently. Some people are afraid to become happy in a spiritual way. Yeah. So some people are nice, at least they are opening it honestly. So some people say not interested is a very common answer. So when you are going to distribute books, never ask, sir, here is a copy of Bhagavad Gita, would you like to take it? No, they will say. Sir, are you interested in seeing Bhagavad Gita? No. See, you should never ask a yes or no question. You should ask a question which will bring yes from their mouth. No. Sir, you appear to be very intelligent, you know. You appear very smart. Like I told one boy when I went and I showed the book, hey, you appear to be smart like Arjun. He smiled and said, my name is Arjun. One boy, oh really? Then this is the book meant for you. Because this book was heard by Arjun only. And Arjun took it, you know. So you have to bring a yes from their mouth. So like, you know, this boy Arjun, first when I went to him, first thing I told him was, you know, here is a book which dissolves all confusions, I told him. And he said, I am also very confused in my life, he said, because I don't know how to make decisions. There are 3-4 things coming up in my life, I don't know how to decide, I am very confused, he said. And then I said, you know, you heard about Arjun? Then I told him. Then he said, my name is Arjun also, he said. See, everything is matching. He was Arjun, you are Arjun, and he was confused, you are confused. And he heard Bhagavad Gita, so you should take Bhagavad Gita. So, we should try to bring out a yes from people's mouth. So, don't ask a yes or no question. Ask an open-ended question. You can ask, sir, are you from Pune? Are you from outside? He says, I'm from Pune. Oh, really? I'm also from Pune. You can say like that. So, this is commonality. So, when you tell them that you, sir, so you seem to be educated, you are studying in a college or working in a company. See, he must be doing either of the two. So then you have to explain, and I am working with Infosys, I am working with something. They speak like that. So then you can, when they say one or two answers, then you can talk about the book. Then they will be interested. Otherwise, many times you ask, sir, are you interested in Bhagavad Gita? What is the immediate answer? No, very easy. For them to say two-letter word is very easy. Huh? Yeah. So, never ask a yes or no question to people. Huh? And or if you simply show the book, they will say, I am not interested. Then you should say, yes sir, it is true. Everyone is busy nowadays. I agree. You can see how people are running. You know, nobody has time for God. Although, you know, you are actually interested, but you have no time for God, right? They will say, yes, that's my problem. You are right. I am also very pious. Don't think I am not godly, you know. I am pious, but right now I am not interested. Then you say, Arjuna was hearing Bhagavad Gita in the battlefield of Kurukshetra where heads were flying. Where the heads are flying, is it not a dangerous place? At that time, he could have take out time to hear Gita. you are not in such a dangerous position. You can surely take it. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Tantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much.